today's sermon is help from above. Can we say that together? Amen. And it's just so important that we understand that we have help. Amen. We're not just left alone to walk this journey of life all alone and figure things out by ourselves all alone. We have help. God is not far. He's in heaven. Yeah? But God is a spirit. He's in heaven, but he's also near to us. Amen? That's why we say that he's omnipresent. Amen? He's omnipresent. Let's open to Psalm 46. Let's start with that. Psalm 46, verse 1. Psalm 46, verse 1. And today's message is meant to stir up your faith and encourage you on your journey. On your journey of this Christian life through this world with its challenges. I mean, someone, Billy Graham, I just finished reading his book. His autobiography, The Journey. Well, not an autobiography, actually. It's not an autobiography. It's just a book on the journey of life. If anyone wants that book, I just finished. I can give you. So I'm throwing it open. If you want to read it, I can. I'm the first reader. You can read it. And one of the quotes he quoted there is that life is hard, but God is good and heaven is real. And it's one statement: life is hard, but God is good and heaven is real. Now the reason is that, you know, even if you are going through anything that is uncertain, you know this is not the end of the story. What's happening in this world is not the end of the story. We have something much better that is coming. Hallelujah. That is sure, that is steadfast, that is secure. You know, no matter how long you live in this life, I don't think at the rate things are going that you're going to live more than 100 years, you know, on earth. You know, I think by the time you're 100, you're already so so weak and tired, you rather want to go. Amen? But heaven is forever for those who believe. So we have a sure and a steadfast hope. Amen? And so no matter what the journey looks like in this world, whether times are good or times are not so good, yeah, we are secure. Amen? Because our hope is not only in this world. We have something bigger than this one. And that's why you cannot threaten us. Amen? That's why the disciples were willing to die. Because they know they have something better. Now, they were not hastening to die. Let me explain the difference. They were not like, oh, kill me, I want to die. No. They wanted to live for Christ. Live the life of Christ. Reach people. Change lives. Touch people. But they are not going to deny their faith. Amen? Because they know that they have something of greater value than anything the world can offer. And that's how Christianity survived. Amen? That's how Christianity survived. Because we had men and women of genuine faith who were able to stand their ground. Because they had a sure and a steadfast hope. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's the type of believer you are called to be. One that knows that I'm walking this journey. Hallelujah. Whatever it takes, I'm standing, I'm walking. Hallelujah. Nothing will move me. Nothing will shake me. Hallelujah. I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. Whether by living or by dying. Of course I will live. Amen. I'm in Christ. Hallelujah. And when I check out of this world, amen, I'm going to something better. Hallelujah. Something much better. And in fact, that's what I'm living for. Hallelujah. It's because I know that I have something better. That's why I'm living right. Amen. Hallelujah. You will live right because you know that beyond this world, there's something sure that you are looking forward to. Amen. Psalm 46 verse 1. Do you have it? Psalm 46 verse 1. Yes? Can I have a quick read? Yes? Psalm 46 verse 1.
New King James.
Yes.
God is our strength, a very present help in trouble.
Okay, I'm going to do that again. You missed one word. Try it again.
God is our refuge and strength.
God is what?
Our refuge and strength. And our strength.
Continue, please.
A very present help in trouble.
Amen. Now, what I want to emphasize there is, he's very present. Even though you cannot see him with your physical eyes. Amen. You know, when I was younger, you know, we had this statement, which is generally in the world, says that sin is believing. And as believers, we sort of say, no, that cannot be correct. You know, for believers, it's not sin, it's believing. You know, and then we swapped it around and said, believing is sin. But now that I've grown, I actually see that actually sin is believing is very correct. You just need to understand it. Yeah? You can only believe what you can see. The only problem is that it's not only physical eyes that you have. Amen? You also have inner eyes. Amen? The eyes you have are not just physical. You can see something with your mind. Amen? You can see something with your spirit. You can be looking at something and not seeing it. Has that happened to you? It was right before you. You know, have you ever done this, some of this mind tests that say find, so they give you a picture and they tell you to find a hidden item in the picture. So you're looking, and until you draw back, and when you see the big picture, then you can say, oh, it was always there. Yeah? So you can see something with your physical eyes and miss something. Yeah? It's before you, but you can't see it. Because that's not the only eye you have. There's the eyes of your mind. Yeah? Or another one says the eyes of your understanding. And there's the eyes of your heart. Amen? Now, faith is the ability to see with the eyes of your heart. Amen? When you see it, you can lay hold on it. Amen? If you cannot see it with the eyes of your heart, it becomes difficult to lay hold on it. Amen? And to be in faith, you must see God inside. See with the eyes of your heart. Hallelujah. Yes, you can't lay hold with your physical hands, but you can lay hold with your spirit. And your spirit is stronger than your hands. Amen? Say with me, say, my spirit is stronger than my hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's one of the things that you must avoid. You must avoid that your spirit is broken. Don't allow your spirit to be broken. Because when your spirit is broken, yeah, you can't lay hold with your spirit. Your faith is weak. Now, let me explain what I mean by your spirit being broken. I'm not talking about being humble here or being contrite. That's okay. I'm talking about the fact that you become weary. You become tired. Yeah? You become fed up. Yeah? It's now difficult for you to be in faith. Hallelujah. Because when you are weary, you can't lay hold with your spirit what God is trying to do in your life. Hallelujah. God is very present. So when you say God is very present in my times of need. Amen. Now, I did not tell you that you will see him with your physical eye. I did not tell you that when you're in time of need, you know, you will to touch God like as though he was beside you. You know, sometimes you feel like, oh, Lord, if I can just touch you now. Or actually, no, it's the other way. You say, Lord, you can just hold my hand. You can just hold me close. There's a song like that. Hold me close and let your love surround me. I don't see. I don't sing that song. It's a good song, but it's not really completely scriptural because it's just emotional. Yeah? God, hold me close and let your love surround me. Yeah? That feels good, isn't it? Amen? But he's already holding you. Amen? He's already what? Holding you. You just have to believe it. Hallelujah. He did not let go. Say, I will never leave you. No what? Forsake you. Believe it. Believe it even in the hardest moment. So now someone says, so how can I experience it? Confess it. Hallelujah. When you're in a tough time, say, Father God, I thank you. Because you will never what? Leave me. And you will never forsake me. And when you are saying this, you are having all those feelings of uncertainty, all those feelings of insecurity. But he is very present. He is present. You must see with the eyes of your heart. Hallelujah. With the eyes of your heart. So God is our refuge and our what? Anna, what do you read for me? Please. Anna, strength. Thank you. A very present help in time of trouble. Let me just say something a bit about refuge. Somebody explain to me what is mean of refuge. So you say, God is my refuge. What does that mean to anybody? You say, God is my refuge. What's the mean of refuge? That's an English word. Refuge.
Safe place.
A safe place. Yes. Any other one? A safe place.
Shelter,
yes. I like that. Safe place, shelter, yes.
Protection.
A place of protection. Now, if there was an emergency, yeah, and there was a place of refuge, what would you do? What are you expected to do? How do you react? So there's an emergency, and everybody's told, you know, that, oh, over there is the place of refuge. Now, what are you to do? What do you do? You run to the place of refuge. That's the picture I'm trying to paint for you. When the Bible says God is your refuge, there's something for you to do. Yeah? You take refuge. Amen? God is my refuge. But it's for me to what? Take refuge. If I don't take refuge, I may not experience the blessing of the refuge. God is my refuge. So in my time of need, I go to him and say, God, you are the one I have. In fact, you can even say you are the only one I have. I mean, if you have other things, no problem. Try them out. After you finish trying them out, and they didn't work, yeah, you now go and say, Lord God Almighty, you are the only one I have. You are my refuge. Amen? It's a good confession. It's a good prayer. Lord, you are my refuge. I'm leaning on you. I'm trusting in you. I'm depending on you. You are my rock. You are my strength. You are my shield. You are my helper. If you don't help me, I will not be helped. Amen? It's a good prayer for you to learn to take refuge in God. So when we say, I will take refuge in God because he's my very present help in the time of need. Psalm 121. Let's go to Psalm 121. The title to today's sermon again is Help from Above. Psalm 121. Yes, let's just read one or few verses from there. Psalm 121. And verse 1 to 4. No. Let's read the whole Psalm 121. Yes, who's ready to read for me? Psalm 121. Verse 1 to 8.
1 to 8,
yes.
Yes. This NLT. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever. Amen.
Thank you for that. Let's have New King James or King James. Psalm 121, verse 1 to 8. Go on, please. You've been chosen by your wife.
Thank you.
Nothing they can do about it. She has the right to choose you. Go on, please.
Right, that's from NKJV.
Yes.
I will lift up my eyes to the hill. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made the heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in. Amen. From this time forth and even forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Now someone says to me, when I read this, how am I supposed to react? The first reaction is believe it. Amen. Believe it. And if you believe something, one of the ways you can measure your belief is what you say. For example, if I believe this psalm, when I'm facing a hard time, you know what I would say? I say, the Lord is my keeper. Amen. The Lord is what? He's my keeper. I believe it. Amen. The Lord is what? My keeper. If you find yourself in a health situation or you find yourself in the hospital, it's happened to me before, and you know, everything is just upside down. It's like you don't know where things will go. You just say what? The Lord is what? My keeper. I remember when I was in hospital, end of 2022, the song that really, kept playing, and I kept playing, it said, it just dumb when, it said, he never sleeps, he never slumbers, he never tires of hearing our prayers. Though we are weak, he remains stronger. So rest in his love, cast all your care on him. Amen. You know, it's not every time that you be praying and shouting and say, God, you have to do something. Now you can do that, but don't do it every time. Some other time you just have to step back and say, thank you, Lord, because you are my shield. You are my rock. You are my keeper. You will not allow my feet to be moved. It's an expression of your faith. Sometimes when you're praying, I'm praying all the time, and you're not taking some time out to just speak out what you believe, you may tilt over out of faith to panic. Amen? So do pray. Do pray. But after you've prayed, believe. Amen? Believe. Believe. You know, like we're meeting here, and we've met here for like 12 years. And many times we prayed over this venue, prayed over the area. And then the Holy Spirit opened my eyes one day, as I was coming into church, and said, today, just give thanks. So I said, thank you, Lord, for this venue. Thank you, because this venue is ours. Not from the point of view of possession, but the point of view of that it's serving us. Hallelujah. We meet here. Our presence dominates here. Because God is here with us. Hallelujah. I don't need to be afraid anymore whether there's any demon operating here. We've operated it long enough to chase them away. If I don't believe it, then I won't say it. You must be able to see it. We are here. We are the stronghold here. Amen. I mean, if you've met somewhere for 12 years and you're not the stronghold, what are you doing? Hallelujah. So I said, Father, thank you for this land and this venue. Thank you for your presence here and your power here. That was all my prayer that morning. No binding, no losing. Because I've taken it already by I believe it now. Hallelujah. The Lord is my keeper. I'm not going down. I'm going up. I don't know what you believe about yourself. Where are you going? Where are you going? Up or down? Hallelujah. Believe it. Your health may be giving you challenges, but what do you believe in the core of your being? What's your mental picture or your spiritual picture of yourself? Remember I said you have eyes in your spirit and in your mind. And sometimes the devil comes in and tries to manipulate your inner picture. and you begin to see yourself winding down. You begin to see things deteriorating in your mind. Yeah, you still come to church. You still read your Bible, you still pray, but mentally you are going down. Yeah? You need to take hold. Because if you can't see inside, you can't believe. Seeing is what? Believing. Change your mental picture. How do you change it? Take the word of God. Begin to speak it. Yeah? Begin to what? Speak it. Say, Pastor, you know, can you just give me a Bible verse that tells me that I need to speak it? So let's open our Bible to Hebrews chapter 13. And we're talking about help from above. Psalm 121 says, it will not allow your feet to be moved. So when I'm in a situation, I say, Lord, thank you. Because I feel uncertain now. I feel unsure. But I know that you will not allow my feet to be moved. You are the one that kissed me. Who will not sleep or slumber. You speak it. That's faith in expression. Hebrews 13 verse 5 and 6. Let's read it. Hebrews 13 verse 5 and 6. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Where was my mic again? Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Yes? Who's ready? Thank you. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Please listen.
Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me?
Amen. Let's have another. What version was that? New Living. Okay, let's have New King James. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. We'll also go to Amplified. But Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Listen.
New King James.
Yes.
Let your conduct be without covetousness.
Let your conduct be without covetousness. Can I just explain that before we go further? You see, covetousness is not just a matter of I want what belongs to another person. That's one type of covetousness. It is covetousness, but that's not all. I've explained to you last time we did the parable of the rich fool, that covetousness is also stinginess. Your inability to let go of what you have. Amen. You know that rich young ruler that came to Jesus and said, what can I do to have eternal life? Jesus said, keep the commandment. He said, I've been keeping this for my youth. But actually, he didn't say that. He said, Jesus, which commandments? So Jesus listed to him some. He didn't list all. He listed to him about seven. He kept some out. But there were a few. Someone says that the ones he didn't tell him were the ones he was failing. But Jesus wanted him to land in the ditch first. Yeah? He said, oh, I've been keeping it. What else do I need? Of course, Jesus knew his problem. What was his problem? Covetousness. So he said to him, go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me. Two commandments he could not keep. Yeah? You see, Jesus will not tell everybody to go and sell all that they have. Please understand. It's not like Jesus said that unless we all sell all that we have. His problem is what? Covetousness. Yes, he did not try to take away from somebody else what they had. But he was not willing to let go of what he had. It's covetousness. Covetousness is the spirit of keeping it all for yourself. Amen? Amen? So that's why Jesus had to challenge you to the core of the matter. Release it. And I would say that he went away very sorrowful. Because he could not release. Covetousness is not just greed, it's also stinginess. Amen? And of course, the second commandment Jesus didn't quote for him was the first. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul. Because when Jesus said, come and follow me, he could not keep that ear. Amen? Now, the third aspect of covetousness which I want to explain is, there's a part of covetousness I want to explain to you. Please pay attention. Covetousness is also wanting to be in control of it all. Please understand me. I'm not talking about greed. I'm not talking about stinginess. I'm talking about wanting to be in total control and having everything figured out. Yeah? Or having, you know, being, how do I explain this? Wanting to have the ability to fix it all. Because one, you don't allow God. The problem with the attitude is that you will take over. When God wants to work in your life, you will take over. And sooner than later, you will mess it up. And it's covetousness. I don't know whether you've ever heard that thought before. Amen? Because it will stop you from trusting God. Hallelujah. Your inability to let go will stop you from trusting God. And that's covetousness. Hallelujah. That's why he said that your conduct should be without covetousness. Because it's a master blockade to trusting. Amen. You won't let go. Imagine God telling Abraham, he said, you know what? Leave where you are. I have one promised land for you. If it's covetous, he will not let go. Why will he let go? Life was good. Amen? Life was good for Abraham. Yeah? And God said, live that good life. Because I have something better. But I'm not telling you where you're going. Just follow me. Covetousness will stop you from trusting God with your life. Amen? That's why it says, let your conduct be without what? Covetousness. Please continue reading. Start again.
Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Yes.
So we may...
Let's just wait there. So he himself has said, I will never leave you nor what? Forsake you. So basically, that's a statement telling you, trust God. Trust God. You are holding tight because you are unwilling to trust. And if you are there sooner than later, you go and do something, yeah, that you shouldn't do. Because you are not willing to trust God. You're lying. Yeah? He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. The fear, yeah? Many times people get into wrongdoing because of fear. The fear of what? Let's list the type of fears. Tell me different. What are the different types of fears that people have that eventually makes them do wrong things?
Paranoia.
Yes, paranoia. The fear of the unknown. Yes, another fear. Please tell me. Everybody tell me the type of fear that people.
Fear of loss.
Fear of loss. Yes, any other fear?
Fear of failure.
Fear of failure, yes. Fear of the future. The fear of fear. Yeah, any other? The fear of rejection. The fear of loneliness. Yeah? The fear of people. What they will say. What else? The fear of... Yeah, let's just say the fear of rejection. It has many forms. Yeah? The fear of poverty. Fear of suffering. Fear of pain. Yeah? You know, we were doing this in the own fellowship. Let's go there. Revelation 21:8. Go to Revelation chapter 21 verse 8. Let's just quickly deal with that problem. And we're talking about covetousness too. And how it can be an antithesis of trust. Revelation 21:8. Revelation chapter 21 verse 8. Yes, if you have it, let's quickly read it. I need to manage my time well. Revelation 21:8. Yes, anybody? Yes, sir. Please listen.
Is amplified okay?
Yes, go for it.
But as for the cowards and the ignoble and the contemptible and the cravingly lacking in courage and the cowardly submissive, and as for the unbelieving and faithless, and as for the depraved and defiled with abominations, and as for murderers and the lewd and adulterous and practitioners of magic arts and the idolaters, those who give supreme devotion to anyone or anything other than God, and all liars, those who knowingly convey untruth by word or deed, all of these shall have their part in the lake that blazes with fire and brimstone. This is the second death.
Amen. Now, does it not amaze you that the first two on this list, yeah? Yes, tell me from your Bible, what's the first two in the list of those who have their part in the lake of fire and brimstone? What's the what?
Cowardly.
Another version? The fearful. And then the fearful, yeah, as a wife, the second person on the list. What's the second person on that list? What? They're good together. Please, I want you to understand, he did not say unbelievers. Look, let me tell you something about this. Because sometimes you're not paying attention to the word of God. I need to just clarify. It would have been easy for God to just write, the unbelievers will go to the lake of fire. Is that what he wrote? But sometimes that's what you read. That's not what he said. He could have just made it simple. Say, all the unbelievers shall have their part in the lake of fire. That's not what he's saying. He's telling you about behavior traits or character traits, not about a status of I'm a believer, I'm not an unbeliever. It's the unbelieving. Of course, an unbeliever is unbelieving, but that's some people, so-called believers, are also unbelieving. Yeah? Because you are not willing to trust God with your life. Amen? That's unbelieving. Amen? A believer can be fearful. Now, let me explain fearful. To be fearful doesn't mean that anytime you encounter fear, you are fearful. No. To be fearful is to be full of what? Fear. You are fearful. Now, because you are fearful, you do things that don't correspond with what God wants you to do. Because you are trying to always have the anger of it. You are trying to always be in control. So you will not trust God with your life. And when you don't trust God with your life, it means that God cannot guide your life. Because he will have to disrupt your being in control. And that will not work well with you. Hallelujah. Fear will make you drift into the wrong thing, and fear will allow the devil to kick you about. Amen? If you are going to overcome the devil in every aspect of your life, yeah, you must learn to trust God. Amen? You must learn in the face of uncertainty, in the face of, you know, opposition, in the face of suffering or pain, to declare that God is for me. God will not leave me. God will show up. He will make a way for me. And I will persevere until I see God's goodness. Amen? I will persevere. I will not capitulate. Yeah? You know, to capitulate is cowardice. Spiritual cowardice. You're working with God. Now, because of fear, you capitulated. That's cowardice. Amen? And then you take, you settle for a counterfeit comfort. I talk about that on Friday. You know what counterfeit comfort is? You are in a situation, you need comfort. And the Bible says that God is a source of comfort. He comforts us. But because maybe God is too slow or God is not near, you settle for something else that gives you a quick fix. But usually the quick fix will come with consequences later. Hallelujah. It's still fear. Hallelujah. The fear of pain. The fear of discomfort. That's what the Bible says. It says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. So please turn to your neighbor's smile and say, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Amen. Open your Bible to Hebrews 6. We are rounding up because of time. Hebrews 6. Let's show you something about faith and Abraham. And again, what we are saying in this message is that God is there. Hallelujah. And you are his child. Believe. Believe that he will show up for you. Amen. Believe. Why are you his child? He has a relationship with you. You're in covenant with him by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Bible says, if we, being evil or being sinful or being imperfect, we know how to give good gifts to our children. Amen. Imagine your child has not eaten. Yeah. and you're out there. Yeah? Imagine that your child does not eat. And you're out there. Yeah? Yeah, you do your shift. What will be on your mind? Tell me, what will be on your mind?
That's I won't even be there doing the shift.
Just imagine that the bus was delayed. And child has not eaten. You're on your way home, but bus was delayed. And the child has not, bus was there for 1 hour, 2 hours. Amen. You see what I'm trying to say? That's us humans. We are imperfect, but look at the way we respond to the needs of our children. I'm not talking about their wants, I'm talking about their needs. So the Bible says, how much more with your heavenly Father? Yeah? Give. So you must believe it. So say, but in my experience, my needs are being on men. Let's start with dealing with your faithlessness. Believe it. Hallelujah. Sometimes, yeah, you're going through a bad time and you're looking for every reason why God should punish you. I'm telling you something, yeah. If you've sinned against God, repent. You don't need punishment to repent unless you're very stubborn. Are you with me? If you've done something wrong and you know that you've done something wrong, repent. Make amends. Don't have to wait for God to punish you before you do that. Amen? But when you're going through trouble, when you're going through stress, don't find a reason why you don't deserve anything good from God. Because when you're in that state, you can't believe that it's your heavenly Father who will give you good gifts. Amen? Let me give you an example. Healing is a good gift. Amen? You say your heavenly Father will give what? Good gifts. Protection is a good gift. Yeah? You don't need to hire bodyguards. Well, I'm not saying you shouldn't. It depends on where you are. It depends on which part of town you are. However, believe that God will protect you. Hallelujah. Because your heavenly Father, He watches over your needs. He said it Himself. So how much more? Hallelujah. Yeah. Any time you are in need, and you remember that God is your Father. So we say, God is my Father. I don't know what I miss you. Hallelujah. I don't know what I miss you. Some say, what's your problem? Why are you so, why don't you ever miss church? Is it your Father's business? I say, yes! It is my Father's business. Literally speaking. God is my Father. I don't know about you. Amen? He's my Father. So I expect Him to help me in my time of need. Because as a father, I don't want to do any less on my children. Amen? Amen? So let's, did I tell you to open to Hebrews, what? Hebrews 6, let's do that and we'll leave it there. Hebrews 6, someone, this is the last one, just read verse 13, Hebrews 6, 13 to 15. I had a voice there, let's take it. Hebrews 6, 13 to 15. Please listen to that and we'll leave it. Our time has run out completely. Hebrews 6, 13 to 15.
When God made His promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so, after waiting patiently, Abraham
after
received...
After what? After waiting patiently. Continue.
Abraham received what was promised.
Amen. New King James says, after he had patiently endured. Hallelujah. To the uncertainty, see God. Amen. With your inner eyes, see God. With your inner hands, your spirit has hands. Take hold of God. Amen. While you're doing that spiritually, patiently endure until you inherit what God has promise. And sometimes it can be literal, you know, you're fighting a battle in your health, in your marriage, in any other, you know, in your finances, whatever else, life control challenges. Yeah? see God with your inner eyes. Lay hold on God with your inner hands. Hallelujah. Don't let go. Patiently endure. Yeah? Until you receive what was promised. Don't allow your mental picture, your spiritual picture to be corrupted by fear or unbelief. Amen? Let's rise up. I leave it there because of time. Talk to God today. Titus says, Amon is help from above. If you are a believer, you are born again, God is your father. Why don't you start and say, thank you, God, because you are my father. And I hope you know the meaning of that statement. It's your heavenly father that gives good gifts to his own children. Say, how much more? How much more? How much more? We meet the needs of our children. My father will meet my needs. My father will meet my needs. He will make a way for me where there's, like we sang earlier, he said, you give and make a way. Pray and say, thank you, Lord, because you will make a way. You will help me. You are my helper. You are my keeper. The Lord is your keeper. He's your shade. He will keep you. We neither sleep nor slumber. I will trust in you. I will wait on you. I will patiently endure, keeping my focus on what you promised, what you said. I will not allow myself to become weary or tired. I will lean upon you until I inherit every good gift that you have promised in your word. Thank you, Father. You're a good Father. In Jesus' name, we are praying. And each other.